Good afternoon, everyone. And we're amidst a happy New Year and also an early happy Lunar New Year. I think when Manik had asked me to come and share, he wanted me to, provide a message with regard to how we're responding to the new year. What can we do in terms of our growth and so forth? And I think all of us are facing, we know that we're probably in a very turbulent time. One person who was a historian shared that we are at an inflection point in the world. So oftentimes that creates a lot of anxiety and so forth. But how do we respond when we are in a season of change, both in Singapore as in the world? So I'd like to go ahead and share from Joshua chapter 2 because it has to deal with the life of Rahab and how her world was in the process of change for it. So he also asked me to come here today because I've never been at Crossroads because we actually, my wife and I, we finished 10 years of ministry in Singapore, and we will be relocating to Taiwan in June. So one of the primary reasons that we're locating Taiwan is that I hit age 63, which in Singapore, it's the first retirement age. And it's SBC's policy not to renew the employment pass because it is really cost prohibitive. I think those of you who are expats in Singapore, you know that there has been quite a lot of changes. Even though foreign faculty, we raise funds, the difference now between the local and the minimum employment pass salary is extremely high. But the interesting thing is that even though we're moving to Taiwan, we will still be employed by SBC. We just not are working in Singapore. Many SBC foreign faculty are on what we call a non-residential faculty scheme where we'll teach online and return to Singapore for intensives. Now, you might ask this question is like, well, after for 10 years, why didn't you apply for permanent residence? Well, for our family, it's not so easy, and there were issues, which I'll explain later on. But I think many of us know that Singapore has one of the most strictest policies with regard to permanent residence and citizenship. So me asked then, why are we moving to Taiwan? Because you sound my, from my accent, I am from the U.S. Those of you know Andrew Spurgeon, who also was an elder here. Andrew Spurgeon did teach from Dallas, Texas, which is basically 11 hours. So I did not want to have to deal with the same issues he had because he had to teach sometimes between 2:30 and 4:30 in the morning. So my wife and I also felt that there's a greater need in Asia in terms of the number of laborers. So we are thankful that we could gain permanent residence in Taiwan, as my wife still holds a Taiwanese citizenship and residency. And for me, to gain an alien residence card, I can do it within 30 days of entry. It's also interesting, we found out that Taiwan citizens can actually get an immediate citizenship once they get off the plane. It's part of, I guess, Taiwan wanting to have more citizens from overseas. So all through this transition that we're expecting, it has taught me a lot about immigration and citizenship. And you might be asking, why did, you know, Dr. Sam, spend the last 5 minutes talking about it? Why aren't we getting to Joshua chapter 2? Well, the reason why I want us to have this framework is the fact that I want to see the story of Rahab through this lens of immigration and citizenship. So we know for Rahab from the story was that she was a prostitute. And not only was she a prostitute, but she was also a Canaanite, a people that were known to be corrupt, very wicked, idolatrous, and extremely cruel. They were extremely savage in terms of their battle, and they loved to torture their prisoners. And we know this because of the fact when the Israelites in the book of Judges, after they defeated certain things, they took on the practice of the Canaanites. And that meant like cutting off thumbs, mutilating bodies and all sorts of different things. So when you put things together, here is Rahab, a Canaanite prostitute, trying to apply for citizenship into the kingdom of God. Now you have to ask this question. If you were the immigration official reviewing her case, would you allow her to enter into Singapore? Would you allow her to live to come into Singapore? Most likely not, right? I'll make it even more personal. What if she applies to your condo or HDB to be your neighbor? Or how about this? What happens if your son says, "Dad, Mom, I'd like to invite a girl to be my girlfriend, and I want her to come to dinner. Her name is Rahab, and by the way, she's a Canaanite prostitute." How many of you as parents would allow your son to date such a person? But this is exactly what she was asking. Because once she is not only enter into the kingdom of God, the nation of Israel, but she would be someone's neighbor. And indeed, she married someone's son. So we need to understand, what was she actually asking to become a citizen of Israel? And what was the transition that she had to go through? In Joshua 2, we see the story, in fact, is actually not about the spies, but about Rahab. And specifically, it's a story about Rahab's request to become a citizen of the kingdom of Israel, God's holy people. And what we learn from her will help us to understand, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a citizen of God's kingdom? So today, I'd like to offer maybe 3 points that we can learn. The conditions of citizenship in God's kingdom, the basis of citizenship in God's kingdom, and the requirements of citizenship in God's kingdom. And I think that once we understand what God has given to us as citizens, when we face what is going to happen in 2026, we actually can be confident and trust that God, being a citizen of the kingdom of God, it will enable us to go through whatever we face. So the first thing that I'd like to go ahead and share is the conditions of citizenship. When one applies for permanent residence or citizenship, one has to give reasons for why one wants to immigrate to the country. Because if you don't have any reason to want to live in a country, why would any government want to allow you to live in it? So you have to ask, why did Rahab seek citizenship in Israel? And we can see this in verses 9 through 11. The first thing we know is that she knew that her situation was hopeless. In verse 9, she shares, "I know the Lord has given this to you, and a great fear of you has befallen on us, so that those who live in the country are melting away in fear because of you." The second thing that we can find out is that she knew that God was in control. In verse 10, it says that Rahab attributes the drawing of the Red Sea and the defeat of the Amorites to God's will. And she responds, when we heard of it, our hearts melted. Everyone's courage failed because of you. And lastly, in verse 11, we find out she acknowledged that God is the God of heaven above and God of heaven and on earth below. That means that she placed the God of Israel above all, even her own gods, above all gods. Rahab knew that her life was doomed in her country, her Yusuf has given this land over to you indicates that in her mind, it was already a fact. That is why Rahab sought citizenship, because she knew that she and her country was without hope, and that God was sovereign even over the land of Canaan. So she knew that the God, Jehovah, was just not the God of Israel, but also God of Canaan, of the land that she was living in. So that was her request for citizenship. The second thing I'd like to go ahead and share is the basis of citizenship. What right did she have to become a citizen? First of all, she had no status. She was not royalty. She was not a doctor, right? Many of you are expats. There's a reason why you're allowed to come into Singapore. She was not wealthy. She didn't have a golden visa to come in. In fact, she was a prostitute. You think about it, oh, I like to come in and I like to go to Geylang in the even number streets or other things. If you think about it in that way. The second thing is that she had no merit. She had no merit. Because if you look in verses 4 and 7, she actually lied. Right? She lied in order for her to protect the spies. So, in her own country, she was considered a traitor. And to the country that she was going in, she broke the law. Now, part of my the requirements for me to go into Taiwan are two things. First of all, I have to be married to my wife, Esther, who is a Taiwanese citizen. I also have the health checkup. And the third thing is I need an FBI background check, right? So, in other words, a lot of countries, if you want to gain citizenship, if you've committed any major crimes in your home country, many countries would not even consider the application. So here we have Rahab, who was considered a traitor in her own country, but she also lied, which is against one of the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not bear false witness. And here Rahab broke the law. So you have to ask, why would anyone allow such a person to apply for citizenship, right? Now, some people would think, it's her faith that saved her. But we need to ask this question. And I think this is something that chapter 2 really helps us understand about salvation. What about her father and mother and brothers and sisters, right? Rahab, you could say, she had faith. But when you think about her mother and father, brothers and sisters, why would they be allowed to live in the kingdom of Israel? They didn't do anything at all. So we need to know, and I think for many Christians, this may be a shock, but we have an elder here. Monica is not here, but, well, if you have any questions, you can go ask him. Okay? So faith, we need to know, is not the basis of salvation. Faith is not the basis of salvation. So you might say, if it's not faith, then what is it? Well, we know from this, it's important to know that the basis of citizenship, entry into God's kingdom, was solely by God's mercy. Solely by God's mercy. In other words, if we look at verses 18 and 19, it was the red thread which many biblical scholars and theologians understand is to signify Jesus' sacrifice. So in other words, it's taking the red thread, but it's going through the blood of Christ. So the basis of her citizenship was solely by God's mercy. Rahab to hope that God would overlook all that she was and give her the promise of salvation, of citizenship in his kingdom. For Rahab, she knew her situation was hopeless. Her country was for certain going to be destroyed. She also knew that she had no status and no merit whatever to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that meant that she had to rely totally upon God's mercy. She had to apply for what we call refugee status. In other words, she had to depend solely upon the kindness of the spies and upon the mercy of God. And this is actually important for us to understand because this is actually our basis for becoming Christians. It's our basis for becoming Christians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "It is not by works of righteousness that you have been saved, but through grace you have been saved." Titus 3, 5 says, "He has saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy." We can learn from Rahab because we are just like her. We have no status and no merit before God. And we live in a corrupt and sinful world that's only destined to destruction. It is only through God's mercy and grace that we save. In fact, there's only one immigration status in heaven. There's only one immigration status. There's no businessman status. There's no professional status. No status except that of a refugee. Maybe hard to hear because none of us want to be refugees. But that is exactly the status that we have. Every person who becomes a Christian must be a refugee status, must come as a refugee. And if we're not willing to admit that we are without hope, that we're without status or merit before God, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Similarly, we must be also willing to share our citizenship with everyone. It is not just relatives and friends like Rahab, but when we share with everyone, whether it be rich or poor, strong and weak, good or bad, because we are all the same before God. As a pastor, I've always known, I used to be a pastor for about 20 some years. And oftentimes when we're talking about salvation, young people would say, what happens if Hitler, just before he committed suicide, accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? Would he be in heaven? What do you think? Yes, right? He would be in heaven, right? The most evil person in this world, they call upon the name of the Lord for mercy and grace. They will be given the same entry in the kingdom of heaven. We need to be prepared. There may be some really bad people who will be our neighbors in heaven. But this is the blessing of understanding the basis of citizenship. In heaven, there will be prostitutes. We know there will definitely be a thief who confessed before he died on the cross next to Jesus. There will be crooked tax collectors. There will be many, many poor and needy people in heaven. So the basis of citizenship is entirely by God's mercy and grace. This should also give us comfort, because if it is entirely by God's mercy and grace, it is not based on our measure of faith, right? So you have to ask this question then, well, then where does faith come in? And that is why this last point, the requirements of citizenship, that though we become citizens only as refugees, there are still requirements for the citizenship to become effective. In Singapore, if one is given permanent residence, we have to show and fulfill the conditions of citizenship. We must obey the laws of Singapore, prove that we're contributing members of society, and show an understanding of what it means to be Singaporean. And there's one condition which our family could not go through. When you become a permanent resident, sons have to serve in NS. So when I came to Singapore, I brought our four children, my daughter and my son who was 16. And he went through, my son Jason went through struggle, because I think you know, if you have teenagers, you pull them from one country to another country at the age of 16. They already are depressed. They already hate you and other things. And if I applied for permanent residence, my son Jason, at that time, he said, Dad, if you apply for permanent residence and I have to serve in NS, I'll never speak to you again. Right? And that is actually said, because his loyalty was in the U.S. and his perspective and worldview was that of the U.S. But, you know, for my wife and I, we actually wanted him to go through NS, because we always heard from our Singaporean friends, you know, when my son comes back from NS, he makes his bed and he folds all his clothes and he's much more respectful. We said, this is what we want for Jason. But outside, I'll also share with you that God also worked in Jason's life. Out of the four children, he's the only one that is here in Singapore. God worked in his life. Even though he did not want to be in Singapore, when he went back to the university to study, in November, on the year that he graduated, he says, Dad, I'm coming back to Singapore. I said, you know, you can't come back to Singapore because your dependent pass is gone. He said, I have my own employment pass. So he's working right now as a teacher in International Community School, which is the Christian International School. And God had worked in his life, and he ended up feeling called to mission. So he and his wife are here serving at International Community School. But that's not part of the sermon, but just to let you know that God does work, even though you may not want to, yeah. But I don't know if he's going to apply for PR, but I don't think he is allowed to. He needs to serve in national service. But when we think about the conditions for permanent residence or citizenship. We know that there are requirements, right? We need to know in God's kingdom, we must also live in accordance to the conditions of citizenship. And that means we must enter into a covenant with God. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, especially in verse 10, and I think many of us, we may memorize verses 8 and 9, we oftentimes don't realize that verse 10 is actually part of the entire thing. It says here, for grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So here again is this understanding that to be able to be saved, it is entirely by grace. But verse 10 makes it clear where faith comes in. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And this is why through faith and verse 10 are tied integrally together. Because faith enables us to live as citizens of the kingdom. We see this in Rahab as she made this covenant with the spies. First, she acted against the world. By lying to the king's soldiers, she put herself against the country that she was living in. In other words, society that she was living in. The second thing is she shared a concern with God's plan by protecting God's servant and ensuring that they fulfilled their mission. And thirdly, she submitted to God's mercy by putting her faith in God. So again, what is important to understand is that faith did not save Rahab. Her salvation comes only through God's mercy. But faith is important. Because it is not about, faith does not tie in terms of granting citizenship, but it is through her faith that she was able to fulfill the requirements of citizenship. And that is the distinction that we have. Oftentimes, as a pastor, people would always be worried, you know, I don't have enough faith, and if I don't have enough faith, will I lose my salvation? People ask this a lot. Because they're worried, will I lose my permanent residence or citizenship in the kingdom of heaven? And I'd let them know, when we are saved, we're saved by God's mercy and grace. But faith enables us to participate in God's kingdom as citizens. Faith is what enables us to live as citizens even before we become, you know, go into heaven, right? And this is where Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 shares. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. Right? So this is the condition for citizenship. And it is through faith. For Rahab, she lived as a citizen of Israel even before she was sure that she would become a citizen. This is what faith means. It corrects the misconception that faith makes us a citizen. Again, citizenship is an act of God's mercy and grace. But faith is the requirement for citizenship before we have even been given citizenship. In faith, we live as if we are already citizens, enjoying the benefits of citizenship. Let me give you an example. We're moving to Taiwan in June, and in many ways, I'm preparing to go to Taiwan. One thing is you have to know that I'm from the U.S. I'm second generation. My Chinese is not very good. And I only had up to like fifth grade Chinese. And not only that, but you know there's a difference between Taiwan Chinese and Singapore Chinese. Singapore Chinese is simplified script. In Taiwan, it is traditional script. That means I'm using flashcards now to memorize my Chinese using flashcards, right? But one of the things that is interesting is that in December, I actually injured my knee. And I think if you know about knee surgeries in Singapore, it's quite expensive. But I know that once I go to Taiwan and once I become a permanent resident, I'm under Taiwan's national health insurance. So that means if I need knee surgery, it will cost only 25% of how much I would pay in Singapore. So what do I do? Do I say, oh, I don't trust the Taiwanese government and I'm just going to get it here at NUH? Or am I going to trust that I will receive the benefits of being a permanent resident of Taiwan and just say, well, doctor, thank you for letting me know, but I'm going to wait till I get to Taiwan to have my knee surgery, right? That takes faith to trust that the Taiwanese government will take care of me through their national health insurance. And that is exactly what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 shares, is that Rahab, by faith, trusted that she would enjoy the benefits of citizenship even before she would be able to gain it. So we know, we can learn from Rahab, that she was able to act against her own city, that she showed concern for the spies who were not her countrymen. And she was able to call upon a God who she never worshipped as a God of heaven, God in heaven above and earth below. And we can learn in the same way, our faith does not save us, but it is through faith that we receive salvation by entering into a covenant with God. We may not already be in heaven, but in faith, we live as in the world as citizens of God's kingdom, but we can also be sure that God is watching over us, that God is watching over us, so that no matter what happens in 2026, and again, it is so uncertain many different ways, right? But because God is the God of heaven and earth, we can trust that as our King, He will watch over us. That enables us to live daily by faith. And we see that Rahab's faith was indeed special in the Bible because even before she was given citizenship, she already lived as a citizen of Israel. And we find out that she is one of the few people that is mentioned in the Bible more than one chapter, right? It's not only Joshua chapter 2, but she became famous for her faith and was actually mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. And even more importantly, she was included in God's salvation plan. Matthew chapter 1 verse 5 says she's mentioned as the mother-in-law of Ruth, also another person that you would not want to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and the great-great-grandmother of King David. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, she's listed along with many other great men in the Bible. And you have to know, it was a patriarchal society, so anytime you have a woman, that's a special thing. James chapter 2, verse 25, she's used actually to shame Christians for not acting as citizens of God's kingdom. So again, refugee status is freely given by God. All of us are refugees. But once we accept citizenship, we must, by faith, fulfill the requirements of that citizenship. Two passages to let us know. The Apostle Paul stood before the courts, and he said, "My brothers, I fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." But if you actually understand the translation, it could be similar. I've lived as a citizen to God in all good conscience. The other thing is that Peter also helps us understand what we are called to do. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 14, and especially verses 13 and 14, he said, "According to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness dwells." And here in verse 14, it says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish or at peace." In other words, we must live as citizens of the kingdom even before we've entered. God is indeed merciful, but his mercy is conditional upon our fulfilling the requirements of the covenant with him. By faith, we must live as citizens of his kingdom. We cannot have the status of citizenship without living as citizens of his kingdom. That means that we are not just citizens on Sunday, but we must be citizens each and every day. So whether it be in business, are we living as citizens in the ethical life that God calls upon us. When we study, are we giving our studies not so that we can earn a lot of money, but to be able to fulfill God's purposes for us in the discipline that we choose? In our leisure activities, are we living as citizens of the kingdom? Whether it be in our relationships with friends, whether it be in our relationship with strangers, do we put on love with those that are around us? We must live by faith as citizens of God's kingdom, the already and not yet. So in closing, let me just go ahead and go through what I've shared and what we can learn from Rahab. Rahab attained her citizenship in the nation of Israel. Chapter 6, when Jericho fell, only she and her family were saved. Rahab went on to be the ancestor of both David, King David, and Jesus Christ. But she was saved as a refugee, not on merit or status. And it is in faith, and her faith did not save her. Indeed, it was by God's mercy and salvation. But it was through faith that she fulfilled the conditions of citizenship by acting as a citizen before it was fully given to her. This is what I understand as faithful faith. Faithful faith. And God blessed her, included her plans, and brought about the salvation of all mankind through Rahab. So this is what I'd like to leave with you is, what is your condition of citizenship in God's kingdom? Are you a citizen already? Know that it is freely given to you entirely by God's mercy and grace. But if you have been given a citizenship, are you living by faith as a citizen? The status of a citizen is freely given, but we must live by faith, through faith as citizens. That means in 2029, no matter what happens, we can be sure. First is our salvation is secure if we called upon Jesus Christ. And secondly, if we live by faith, we can trust that if our Heavenly Father is pleased, then He will watch over us no matter what happens in this world. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving. And Lord, we thank you for your wonderful love that if we call upon you and we put our trust in you, Father in heaven, your grace and mercy overflows and enables us to be your child, to be citizens of your kingdom. Father in heaven, no matter what struggles we face, no matter we doubt in our faith, Father in heaven, your Holy Spirit, remind us that we are secure in your mercy and grace. But Father in heaven, we also know that in order to enjoy the benefits of citizenship, we must live by faith and walk by faith. And we pray, Father, that regardless of whether we be in school, whether we are in relationship with our family or our neighbors, whether on our workplace or whether with strangers, Lord, help us so that we may be pleasing to you, to live as citizens, as a citizen, even though we are not in heaven yet. Father in heaven, help us to learn to be like Rahab and to put you first in everything that we do as a citizen of your kingdom. May you continue to guide us in the coming year. We trust that you are sovereign. We trust that you are embracing and holding on to us because of what Jesus has done on the cross. The Father in heaven, ultimately, we will be saved because of who you are. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.